1, 2, 3, 4.
Song Salad
with Shannon and Scott.
Welcome to Song Salad with Shannon and Scott.
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together,
we're
so loud in my ear.
Why are you so loud?
How I make it do not that. Hello?
Sounds like a personal problem.
Oh my God. Well, no, but you're loud in my ear.
Yeah.
Okay, this is better.
Why are you trying to turn me down?
I'm raining all over your parade. Your pride parade?
Hey, happy pride, everyone.
Happy actual, like, day of pride. It was the month of pride, and now it is the day of pride.
That was the day of pride, yes.
When is the hour of pride?
Brunch. Like, noon.
Yeah. Yeah, the moment of pride.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What'd you do to celebrate pride today?
I went to a baby shower for two straight people. And so did you.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
I changed my profile picture to have the little rainbow ribbon.
Oh, so you're one of those kind of activists. Good
I'm an
job.
Ally.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Did you do anything else?
I put in a final adoption application for a cat.
Is it a gay cat?
Could be. We don't know.
Maybe.
He might be. Yeah.
I hope
he's neutered, so we don't really know what's going to happen with that.
I hope you get your possibly gay kitty.
Me too. He's cute.
Then I was going to say then we can have him on the show, but no one will be able to see him.
He could meow.
Yeah.
He's talkative.
Yeah. Good. Okay. You have to get the cat and then he'll be our new co-host.
There's got to be a genre of music that's just cat meows over like EDM.
What was that one weird genre? I feel like it was a Japanese genre and the woman had like the song about the cute cat.
Oh,
do you remember?
Yes. Yeah. I don't remember
and it was like,
was.
I am a cute cat. I am the cutest cat or whatever.
Was that Shibuya Kei?
It might have been because it was when we did the I Am Scared of Disney
yeah,
song.
Yeah, that was that one.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Shibuya
mm-hmm.
Kei.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, what was that Shibuya Kei song? What do we do on this crazy show?
Here on Song Salad, we take a random genre of music from moodfuse.com and combine it with a random topic from Wikipedia to create a short song for your listening pleasure.
And we find out what our genre and topic are by spinning the salad spinner, which is a suggestion that we get from our listeners, what the salad spinner sounds like. And we're continuing on the Josh Jelen salad spinner train
whoop, whoop.
With his next two spinner sounds, which he sent to us all in one tweet for easy finding, which we appreciate very much.
AIOT, all in one tweet.
Is that a thing?
It is now.
Oh, but like, it like sounds like a thing.
Yeah, I'm going to make it a thing.
Okay, all in one tweet. And here are his suggestions, AIOT, fire truck, gongs, lots of gongs.
Which we did last week.
Drums, signifying the punchline of a joke, which we'll do this week. And we'll also do Corgi Beach Party.
I'm excited about that one.
And then next week will be Jazzy Snaps in a Juicero.
All right, so to get our genre for Mood Fuse, who wants to start with drums signifying the punchline of a joke?
I mean, I feel like that's the easy one, so I'll do it.
Do you want me to tell you a joke and you can punchline it?
Yeah, that's perfect.
Okay, let me think of a good joke.
You mean let you think of a bad joke?
Yeah.
Guys, I 100% guarantee that this is going to be a joke that Scott has told me before.
Probably. I could tell a dirty joke.
Okay.
Because it's on my mind.
Okay.
I might have told you this. I don't remember.
All right.
What does a stripper do with her asshole before she goes to work?
I don't know. What?
Drops him off at band practice. But oh, you have to do it.
You ruined it.
That's a good joke, right?
Yeah, I guess so. That's so mean to strippers' children.
No, it's about her boyfriend.
Oh.
Like a rock and roll boyfriend.
I thought it was about her kid.
No. You projected that onto the joke.
But like band practice?
Like he's in a rock band.
Oh, I thought you meant he's in like a marching band.
No, it's a joke making fun of rock musicians.
I thought it was a joke saying that strippers are bad moms.
Not at all.
Oh, God. Spin the salad spinner. Okay.
Okay.
Screamo.
Yeah.
Screamo.
Screamo.
So screamo is an aggressive style of emo that emerged in the 1990s, combining musical intensity with, quote, willfully experimental dissonance in dynamics, end quote.
I don't really know what experimental dynamics are, because it's really just, like, loud and soft. Like, how can you get too experimental in there?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, I mean, but, like, also dissonance is, like, just dissonance, right?
Pretty much.
So
but I guess like experimenting with dissonance in a rock genre.
And experimenting like with genre. Dynamics, I guess.
I guess.
It was pioneered by San Diego bands Heroin and Antioch Arrow and developed in the late 1990s.
You can do it.
The late 1990s, mainly by bands from the East Coast of the United States, such as Orchid, Seisha, and Page 99. Screamo is strongly influenced by hardcore punk and characterized by the use of screamed vocals.
Yeah.
Oh, here we go. Lyrical themes right up front. I love it.
Good.
Getting straight to the point, Screamo. Lyrical themes usually include emotional pain, romantic interest, politics, and human rights.
Human rights. I like that. We haven't really done a lot of human rights stuff.
Yeah, not since like our grindcore.
No, pretty
one.
Much.
Yeah.
Screamo has often been mistakenly used as an umbrella term for any music that features screamed vocals. We've done a little bit of that in the past.
Yeah.
According to Matt Davis, guitarist and singer for the Vida Blue, a lot of bands that play music that has screaming vocals and isn't readily filed away into another little genre niche is called screamo.
Okay.
That was a bad sentence.
It was a bad sentence. Bad job, Matt Davis, guitarist and singer for The Vida Blue.
Oh, the term screamo is a portmanteau of the words scream and emo. Thanks.
In case that
thanks,
wasn't
Wikipedia.
Completely obvious.
Screamo uses typical rock instrumentation, but is notable for its brief compositions, chaotic sounds, harmonized guitars, and screaming vocals. Screamo is characterized by frequent shifts in tempo and dynamics and by tension and release catharsis. Some screamo music features chaotic vocals and quiet melodic guitar lines. That's interesting. Many screamo bands also incorporate ballads.
So here's more about screamo lyrics. Like we said earlier, it features things like emotional pain, breakups, romantic interest, politics, and human rights. The lyrics are usually introspective, similar to that of softer emo bands.
So soft.
Which also makes me think of the like introspective lyrics of what did we do? It was like the one where we were talking about Nickelback. What's that genre?
Post-punk.
Yeah, so introspective, a focus on the self and like personal troubles. The New York Times noted that, quote, part of the music's appeal is its unselfconscious acceptance of differences, respect for otherness.
So nice.
Some screamo bands openly demonstrate acceptance of religious, non-religious, and straight-edge lifestyles.
Love the straight-edge lifestyle.
We can talk about that in a minute. Screamo, I just want to talk about it. It's very interesting. Screamo fashion includes shaggy, quote-unquote, Vulcan haircuts.
Like Star Trek.
Tight t-shirts, denim jackets, and thick rimmed glasses.
So what did you want to talk about in terms of straight edge?
I just like, I'm just so fascinated by that as like, it was like, and okay, here's my big caveat. I don't really know much about straight edge.
Uh-huh.
It seems like it was a bunch of people who were like, okay, just because we don't drink or do drugs or have sex, right?
I think it depends on your definition of what straight edge entails, but some people include sex in that.
Yeah. So like just because we don't do those things doesn't mean we're not fucking cool. And so it was like just a way for them to be like, look how edgy and crazy we are without any of the drug. It seems like this weird pendulum swing overreaction. Yeah.
I always saw it as like originally straight edge was a pejorative term and then people embraced it as something they were proud of.
But it's also just like don't do drugs and don't drink and don't have sex. Like if you
But you don't need to define it. Yeah,
like who cares?
I don't know. Maybe someone on Twitter can educate us better on.
Please don't though.
What it is to be straight edge. One other thing I saw that's interesting, screamed vocals in screamo are used not consistently, but as a kind of crescendo element, a sonic weapon to be trotted out when the music and lyrics reach a particular emotional pitch.
Great.
So singing is involved in screamo, and then the screaming just happens when you gotta let loose.
So under the sea also, grindcore is also mentioned, which one of my personal favorite episode.
I think one of our most popular episodes.
Yes,
ever.
Is episode 7, List of Fjords of Greenland, which is a grindcore episode. So check that out if you'd like that.
So some other popular bands that we can draw from for influence: The Used, Thrice, Finch, Thursday, Alexis on Fire, Silverstein.
Poor Alexis.
Joy Division was like post-punk / screamo. So who should our example be from?
Maybe something from Orchid or one of the ones that they mentioned at the top, like developed by bands like Orchid and Satya.
Our example song
is from Satya.
A New York City-based screamo band.
And we're going to excerpt their song, Venus in Bacchus.
Flesh on flesh, render us blind. Look into your eyes, look at the stone.
So, what do you take from that?
A lot of lozenges.
It's kind of like spoken word combined with screaming.
Yeah, that's like the interesting thing. I mean, I want to hear more songs to see if that's standard or if there's actually like more singing.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't connect with this, but apparently there are a lot of people on YouTube who do.
Yeah, just scrolling through the comments, someone said, boy, those were the days.
No, they said, boy, those were the days. I don't know. Oh my God, this takes me back to high school. MySpace days.
Do you want to get a topic and then listen to some more examples to find out what kind of song we're going to do?
I think so. Let's get a topic and figure out what we're going to be screaming about. And you are going to do a Corgi Beach Party sound effect from Josh Jellin at J Jellin on Twitter.
Okay. Set, bump, spike, beach volleyball, roof.
I like how you had to say beach volleyball. Princess Sundari Nanda. Or Nanda.
Who is a Buddhist nun.
How appropriate.
Human rights, I guess?
Sure.
Well, let's find out more about her.
She was the half-sister of Siddhartha Gautama, who later became Gautama Buddha. She became a nun after the enlightenment of her half-brother and became the foremost bhikkhuni.
Good, sure.
In the practice of jhana, which is total meditative absorption. She lived during the 6th century BCE in what is now Bihar and Uttar Pradesh in India.
When she was born, Nanda was lovingly welcomed by her parents. Her father was King...
You can do it.
Suddhodarna?
Yeah. Sure.
Also the father of Siddhartha. Her mother was...
Do it.
Mahaprajapati.
Yeah.
Who was the second wife of Suddhodana and the younger sister of his first wife, the late Queen Maya. Her name means joy, contentment, pleasure, and she was named as her parents were especially joyous about the arrival of a newborn baby. Aww. She was known in her childhood for being extremely well-bred, graceful, and beautiful. Her mother was the first Buddhist nun, having asked the Buddha to allow women into the Sangha.
That's cool.
As a result of this, many other royal Sakyan ladies, including Princess
Yasodhara,
the wife of Siddhartha, became Buddhist monastics. Thereupon, Nanda also renounced the world, but it was recorded that she did not do it out of confidence in the Buddha and the Dharma, but out of blood love for her relatives and a feeling of belonging.
That's kind of interesting. So, like, a bunch of her family became ascetic.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. Ascetics. And left the worldly trappings of the kingdom. And so rather than doing that because she was like a true believer, it sounds like she did it because she missed her family.
Peer pressure.
Oh, and then, oh boy, okay, we did not read ahead.
Go on.
It soon became obvious that Nanda was not fully focused on her life as a nun. Nanda's thoughts were mainly directed centered. Were mainly directed on her own beauty and her popularity with the people, characteristics which were the karma of meritorious actions in past lives.
Sure.
These karmic traits became impediments to Nanda since she neglected to reinforce them with new actions. She felt guilty that she was not fulfilling the lofty expectations the others had of her and that she was far from the objective for which so many of the Sakyan royal family had renounced their worldly life. She was certain that the Buddha would censure her, so she evaded him for a long time.
But wait, there's more.
Here's the turn.
One day, many years ago, the Buddha requested all the bhikkhunis to come to him individually to receive his teaching, but Nanda did not obey.
Nanda.
The Buddha let her be called explicitly, and then she presented herself in an ashamed and anxious demeanor. The Buddha addressed her and appealed to all of her positive qualities so that Nanda willingly listened to him and delighted in his words. He knew that the conversation had raised her spirits and had made her joyful and ready to accept his teaching. Since Nanda was so preoccupied with her physical beauty, the Buddha used his psychic powers to conjure the vision of a woman more beautiful than Nanda, who then aged quickly and visibly in front of her own eyes. As a result, Nanda could see, in a short time span, what could otherwise only be noticed in humans in a time span of decades, the recession of youth and beauty, the decay, the appearance of aging, such as wrinkles and gray hair. This vision affected Nanda deeply. She was shaken to the core. After having shown Nanda this confronting image, the Buddha could explain the law of impermanence to her in such a manner that she grasped its truth completely and thereby attained the knowledge of future liberation. Stream entry? That must be a Buddhist thing.
I have a lot of questions.
As a meditation subject, the Buddha advised her to contemplate the impermanence and foulness of the body. She persevered for extended periods with this practice, faithful and courageous day and night. She described this in her verses, and there's actual text from Nanda here. So I guess, like, the Buddha convinced her to meditate on the fact that her beauty was not going to last.
Yeah, and so there is, like, some text here. Yeah, so it says, since she was overly concerned with her physical appearance, she had to apply extreme meditations on bodily unattractiveness.
Wow.
As a counterbalance to find equanimity between the two opposites.
So it seems like this might be an important, like, parable in Buddhism, maybe.
Yeah, but can we go back to, like, one thing?
Yeah, what?
Does the Buddha have psychic powers? Is that a thing?
I don't know.
Have you ever heard of the Buddha having psychic powers?
I assumed he was sort of like all-knowing, but I don't know. I never really thought about it.
Yeah. Wait, I want you to click on stream entry.
Okay.
Stream winner, stream entrant is a person who sees the Dharma and consequently has dropped the first three fetters that bind a being to rebirth, namely self-view, clinging to rites and rituals, and skeptical indecision.
So it's like a step in achieving nirvana?
I guess so. Yeah, so it's one of, entering the stream is the first of four stages of enlightenment. So it's kind of, it sounds like you let go of these things and you just like let the stream take you.
Makes sense.
Yeah, sure. So there's almost nothing I can think of more diametrically opposed to screamo than like meditation.
Yeah.
But.
Do tell.
If you're thinking about, like, if you are Nanda in this situation.
Yeah.
You've clearly gone through, like, a lot of emotional distress because uh-huh. you feel like you're not living up to expectations. And really, you're just doing this whole thing because your family wanted to do it.
Right.
And you aren't doing a good job and you aren't happy.
Right.
And I think that is, like, a good source of emotional hardship that we could tap into.
Yeah, I was thinking we could do it from her perspective before she actually gains this enlightenment.
And, yeah.
Or maybe even in the moment when she's being shown by the Buddha that her body is gonna crap out on her one day and like wallow in that.
Yeah, I think this is a rich vein.
So I just want to look back at screamo for a second and look at those themes one more time.
Emotional pain,
that works. Romantic interest, meh. Politics, meh. Human rights, meh.
Emotional pain.
We got to go with. Eh.
All right.
And we'll listen to some more examples and maybe talk about other possible song structures and styles that we can use.
Yeah, that sounds good.
Cool. So we just listened to a bunch more examples from bands like Orchid, Antioch Arrow, Page 99, et cetera, et cetera.
You wouldn't know they were different bands.
You wouldn't necessarily know they were different songs.
No, you would not.
Not to insult any screamo fans out there, but a lot of it did sound the same.
Yep.
I love this YouTube comment on the Orchid album, Dance Tonight, Revolution Tomorrow, which seems to be a pretty influential screamo album. 15 Counts of Arson 84 says, "This is what the term screamo used to be before all you young bippy twats ruined it with your Hot Topic and forming a band with the dreams of making it to the big time. Shame on all of you!"
So. With your Hot Topic and you're forming a band with the dreams of making it to the big time.
They took our derb.
Yeah, it's just like, what the hell is a bippy twat?
I don't know, but I like that term.
Bippy twat.
So I think the main takeaways are that instrumentation-wise, it's really all about heavily distorted guitars and a lot of like octave displacement. So like octave pedals on the bass and the guitars to make everything feel like lower and grungier. And also vocally, like we said, the screaming is really either an entire harsh song is fully screamed.
Scrum.
I was going to say scrum, yeah.
Yeah.
Or it kind of like the guitars start off doing these sort of like melancholy arpeggios and the vocals are like sort of half shouted, half spoken, and then it launches into this screamed, chaotic music. And harmonically, it's really dissonant, hard to follow. The drums are kind of just
doing
pounding away.
Yeah.
One singer, or screamer, I should say.
Yeah.
No vocal harmonies, no group vocals. And that's about it.
I was saying earlier when we were listening that I think it would be really difficult for, like, this music doesn't feel repeatable to me. Like, it feels like it's so random and, like, kind of shouted and half spoken that sure. it would be really hard to do the song the same way more than once.
Yeah.
I mean, certainly you can get close, but it just kind of sounds like, and maybe yeah. maybe they're more consistent than I'm imagining, but it really sounds difficult.
It's also impossible to tell what they're saying.
Completely. It's like grindcore in that way.
Yeah. I was going to say, the thing about grindcore that we focused on with our Fjords of Greenland episode was that they do these micro songs. And I think Screamo sort of started to go in that direction. Like the album Dance Night Revolution Tomorrow is 10 songs and the whole album is 15 minutes.
Oh,
but
yeah.
they're not these micro songs that are 10 seconds long, but they're definitely not the like commercial pop 2 minutes and 30 seconds length songs with the standard forms of like verse, chorus, bridge, etc.
Right. Yeah.
So what we gonna do?
I think our plan makes sense. I think we do like a short, like we could do like a 30 second or a minute song
yeah.
that's like, you know, a kind of like Nanda being fed up with the situation that she finds herself in of having, you know, kind of like given up all this stuff to go live the monastic life and it not really being what she thought it was. And
right,
she
right.
really just wants to like, I don't know, like brush her hair or whatever she was doing.
Stare at
she
herself was, in a reflective pool.
Yeah. Whatever vain people did in the 6th century. And just like kind of like complaining about that and then getting to some kind of like explosive, like screamy chorus thing.
All right. I'm going to build my band.
Cool. I'm going to write my lyrics.
Here we go.
Let's go.
I'm also going to have a Ricola.
Yeah.
In preparation.
Okay. So I'm very excited about these lyrics.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What is Nanda going to scream about?
Yeah. So I guess you should also mention that you're going to sing this song because it seems like Screamo isn't basically entirely male dominated.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
I mean, let us know if there are cool female Screamo bands because that would be fun to listen to. But most of the ones we found as examples were male.
Yeah. This is exactly what we talked about. Nanda is like complaining
yeah.
that like she doesn't see the point in the like ascetic lifestyle that she has taken up
Typical
on behalf
Nanda.
Of her family. And she's just mad that she can't just like appreciate how pretty she is all day. So here we go.
Okay.
And no structure, no form.
Good.
No rhyming. It's just like kind of some thoughts.
Yeah.
And then a thing you're going to scream.
Great.
Here we go. What's the point of all this piety when I can't enjoy myself? What's the point of living life like it's your last day on earth? I left it all behind so I could stay with what I knew. But now I question, what's the value? There are days, like every day, when I just want to. And then I'm suggesting, of course, it's up to you as the composer.
Yeah, sure.
But I'm suggesting this is where you start the screaming.
Okay.
Where I just want to. Stare at myself in the nearest reflective surface, some water or metal or a particularly smooth rock.
Oh, my God.
Why can't I just stare at myself, stare at myself, stare at myself all day? Yes. Good.
Yes.
Excellent.
Fantastic.
Great. And I don't know.
Do you have a title in mind?
I think a particularly smooth rock is a very good title.
It's really good.
Yeah.
I mean, stare at myself could also be good, but I mean, that's funny.
Yeah. We should have a Screamo band name.
Yeah. What is something related to Nanda that we can use as a band name?
Because
it's, you know, like Orchid or like
yeah.
Antioch Arrow. Like,
yeah.
Let's see.
It's all very, what if it was like,
like Dharma something or like Law of Impermanence.
Ooh, Law of Impermanence is a good Screamo band name.
Yeah, let's do that.
All right. So this is this is a particularly smooth rock.
A Screamo song.
By Law of Impermanence.
By Shannon and Scott.
Yes.
A What's the point of all this piety if I can't enjoy myself? What's the point of living like it's your last day on earth? I left it all behind so I could stay with what I knew. But now I question, what's the value? There are days, like every day, when I just want to stare at myself in the mirror of blackness I miss. So water, it's a metal, or a particularly smooth rock. Why can't I just stare at myself, stare at myself, stare at myself all day?
A lot of favorite parts of that song.
Yeah, you want to start listing them?
Yeah, I think my favorite is whenever after like the quiet part, whenever you do the second stare at myself and your voice just like gives
it
out.
It just gives up.
It hashtag cannot in that moment.
It gave me a lot of respect for screamo singers because I can't do 30 seconds of it.
And you literally did one take.
Yeah, that was one take wonder right there.
And then Scott was like, my throat hurts. So it wasn't even like we did it many times to get it right for you. No, we did it
once. It's an art, man.
Oh, that was so good.
I think my favorite part is just when we shout the title. Just
a particularly smooth
rock.
Yes, it's very good.
It's pretty exciting, the progression like of the build in it and everything.
I agree.
I
feel Nanda's pain.
Yeah.
And like imagine like going from such a tortured soul to like true enlightenment. It's amazing. If we had gotten meditation music, I would have written the other half of that story.
I know. Maybe we can write the follow-up to when she actually becomes enlightened, when she becomes a stream winner.
Yeah. Stream winner. Stream entrant.
Yeah. All right.
So we did that for you. Scott did that for you because he loves you.
And you know what you can do for us is...
give us money. No, I don't know.
I was just going to say, give us some new ratings and reviews on iTunes.
Yeah, that's a big deal for us, more than money. And tell other people about the show. It's always super exciting when we get a new follower or someone who says that they found us because they were recommended our podcast by someone that they love, like you all. We also, if you haven't listened to anything on The Fump, which is, podcasting and internet radio network for funny songs, The Funny Music Project, The Fump, we ran a promo last week for one of The Fump's artists, a new album, and they're running Power Salad, and they are running our, promo this week. So
check it out
y'all.
Find us on songsolidpodcast.com, follow us on Twitter at songsolidcast, and subscribe, rate, and review, and we'll be very grateful.
Thank you, everybody.
Especially Josh Jelen for your
salad spinner. And if you have more salad spinner suggestions, keep them coming. We do have a running list, so we will get to yours eventually, I promise.
Until next week,
I'm Shannon.
And I'm Scott.
And together,
we're
staring at ourselves!
I need a lodge.
We'll get you, Bamboo. Fucking cool!